Five Brothers has become a cultural phenomenon since its release, captivating readers with its raw exploration of family bonds, mental health, and passionate romance. The book has amassed a devoted following, with celebrities like Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly citing it as their favorite contemporary romance. What makes this novel particularly compelling is how it tackles serious issues like depression and trauma while delivering the intense romantic encounters that author Penelope Douglas is known for. The story setting in the fictional Sonoma Bay, Florida, where wealth meets working class, creates a perfect backdrop for examining power dynamics and class divisions that resonate deeply in today's America. Let's dive into this captivating world where five brothers struggle to survive while one woman changes everything. The Yeager brothers inhabit a weathered two-story house in Sonoma Bay, Florida, a blue-collar fishing community that exists in the shadow of the affluent St. Carmen neighborhood's gleaming mansions and manicured lawns. The contrast between these worlds serves as a daily reminder of their struggle and shapes their worldview. After losing their father to a workplace accident and their mother to suicide, eldest brother Macon, then 23, shouldered the monumental task of keeping his four younger brothers together and out of the foster care system. Each brother has carved out distinct survival mechanisms to cope with their shared trauma. Macon, a former Marine who served two tours in Afghanistan, maintains a crushing schedule managing three different income streams: a pool cleaning service, an auto repair shop, and overseeing operations at Mariette's, the local seafood restaurant. His depression, a haunting echo of his mother's illness, manifests in late-night bourbon sessions on their deck and an emotional distance that even his brothers can't breach. The leather-bound journal he keeps, filled with letters to their deceased parents, remains hidden beneath his mattress. Army, at 28, exemplifies quiet strength while raising his 10-month-old son Dex single-handedly. The child's mother, a seasonal tourist from Michigan, disappeared shortly after giving birth, leaving only a brief note. Despite being the family's most reliable bookkeeper and scheduling manager, Army often fades into the background of family dynamics, a position that mirrors his childhood role as peacekeeper. His dedication to fatherhood manifests in small, touching ways: reading business magazines aloud to Dex during feeding time, wearing a baby carrier while managing client calls, and maintaining a detailed photo journal of his son's growth. Dallas, 26, channels his grief into a carefully constructed persona of indifference and superiority, particularly toward the wealthy women of St. Carmen. His intelligence, he was once offered a college scholarship, now serves his cynicism, crafting elaborate schemes to seduce and disappoint these women. Yet his brothers recognize the sensitivity beneath his cruelty, evidenced by the careful way he tends to their mother's abandoned garden and his secret donations to local animal shelters. Iron, 24, faces a 3-year sentence for assaulting a man who made disparaging remarks about their mother. His apparent nonchalance about his impending imprisonment masks deep-seated anxiety, revealed only in late-night conversations with Trace and his methodical preparation of instruction manuals for his responsibilities at the auto shop. Meanwhile, 22-year-old Trace navigates life through humor and surface-level relationships, though his notebook contains detailed business plans for a waterfront pub he dreams of opening. Their brotherhood manifests in daily rituals: morning coffee on their deck overlooking the bay, Sunday maintenance sessions working on their father's old boats, and weekly family dinners where they gather around their mother's cherished dining table. The leather bracelets they wear, crafted from their father's old work belt, serve as constant reminders of their shared history and commitment to each other. Their home, despite its peeling paint and creaking floorboards, remains their sanctuary. Each room holds memories: their mother's piano in the living room, their father's tools carefully preserved in the garage, and countless photographs documenting their journey from boys to men. This carefully maintained equilibrium faces its greatest test with the arrival of Christian Conroy, whose presence threatens to unravel the protective barriers they've built around their hearts and their home. Her entry into their lives will challenge not only their preconceptions about the wealthy residents of St. Carmen, but also their understanding of family, loyalty, and healing. Christian Conroy walks a precarious line between two worlds. Born into St. Carmen privilege, she now faces financial ruin after her father abandoned the family, taking their money and leaving her to care for her younger siblings, Mars and Paisley. Her mother, more concerned with appearances than her children's welfare, pushes Christian toward wealthy suitors like Jerome Watson, who could restore their financial standing. What makes Christian remarkable isn't just her beauty or intelligence, but her resilience. She works multiple jobs at Mariette's Restaurant and the Jaeger's Bar to support her siblings while protecting them from the harsh realities of their situation. Her philosophy, life isn't about what happens to us. If I can't change it or prevent it, I don't think about it, guides her pragmatic approach to survival. Unlike many St. Carmen residents who look down on the Bay community, Christian sees beauty in imperfection. She loves the Jaeger's home with its creaky stairs, uneven floors, and the specific hole in one step she hopes never gets fixed. This appreciation for authenticity extends to how she views the brothers themselves, seeing past their rough exteriors to the pain and loyalty beneath. Christian's past relationship with Milo Price, who physically abused her, has left emotional scars. When Iron confronts her about not reporting the abuse, she explains the impossible position she was in. His family's connections protect him. Her vulnerability in this moment, admitting that sometimes fighting back made her feel powerful against a world of men who hurt women, reveals the complex reality many abuse victims face. Despite these hardships, Christian maintains an almost magical ability to find joy in small moments. Dallas observes this quality in her. She's in love with being alive. Whether roller skating through Mariette's Restaurant, dancing in the rain, or finding humor in difficult situations, she embodies resilience. This quality ultimately draws each Jaeger brother to her in different ways. Trace appreciates her ability to see his potential. Army finds comfort in her nurturing nature. Iron connects with her through shared vulnerability. Dallas reluctantly admires her resilience. And Macon, though fighting it longest, eventually recognizes in her the light to his darkness. The romantic and sexual dynamics in Five Brothers defy simple categorization. What begins as a summer fling between Christian and Trace evolves into something far more complicated when she finds herself stranded at the Jaeger's house with slashed tires. That night, a mysterious encounter with one of the brothers, identifiable only by his leather bracelet, bourbon-tinged kisses, and rough hands, sets in motion a complex web of desire and connection. Each brother's approach to Christian reveals something essential about his character. Trace's playful seduction masks deeper insecurities about his worth. When they share a bed without sex, he confesses his fear of being seen as the stupid brother and his dream of owning a pub someday. This vulnerability creates an intimate connection beyond physical attraction. Iron's aggressive flirtation before his imprisonment conceals genuine fear. During his going-away party, he finally breaks down. "I'm scared. I just wanted someone who cares about me to be with me on my last night." Their subsequent passionate encounter by the pool represents more than just physical release. It's Iron's way of feeling connected before facing 3 years of isolation. Army's relationship with Christian develops more gradually, culminating in an intense encounter in the back of a police car after they're arrested during the Bug Jam Festival. His confession, "People don't walk on me. They just step over me as if I'm not here," reveals how their connection fills his need to be truly seen, especially after being abandoned by his son's mother. Dallas maintains the most antagonistic relationship with Christian, yet his hostility stems from fear of attachment. "The last woman in our house besides Liv was our mom," he admits, revealing how deeply their mother's suicide affected him. Despite his cruelty, he's drawn to Christian's resilience and joy, qualities he observes but cannot embody himself. The most complex relationship develops between Christian and Macon. Their initial interactions are marked by tension and distance, with Macon treating her coldly or ignoring her entirely. The power dynamic shifts dramatically when Christian discovers Macon in a moment of crisis, sitting in the shower, overwhelmed by depression. Her compassionate response, joining him fully clothed and holding him despite his protests, creates an intimate connection beyond physical attraction. When they finally come together physically, it's explosive and possessive. "You're mine," he tells her repeatedly. Yet their relationship transcends sex. Christian becomes the one person who truly sees Macon's pain and doesn't look away. "You can let one person see you like this," she tells him during his darkest moment, offering acceptance rather than judgment. The novel explores how physical intimacy can both reveal and heal emotional wounds. Each encounter between Christian and the brothers represents different aspects of connection: comfort with Trace, validation with Army, momentary escape with Iron, and ultimately profound acceptance with Macon. Five Brothers offers one of contemporary romance's most nuanced portrayals of depression and suicidal ideation. Through Macon's struggle, the novel explores how mental illness affects not just the individual, but the entire family system. Macon's depression manifests in classic symptoms: insomnia, loss of appetite, emotional numbness, and suicidal thoughts. What makes his portrayal particularly powerful is how it connects to generational trauma. His mother died by suicide in the same bedroom where he now sleeps, creating a haunting parallel that Christian recognizes before the brothers do. When she questions Dallas about their mother's behavior, self-isolation, loss of appetite, insomnia, mood swings, while they watch Macon outside, the realization dawns that history might be repeating itself. The novel doesn't romanticize depression or suggest that love alone can cure it. When Macon describes his experience, "It's just this black cloud that hangs over you and follows," and admits he understands why his mother took her life, the portrayal is raw and authentic. His fear isn't just about his own suffering, but about his family witnessing his vulnerability. She couldn't bear her family seeing her weakness anymore. Christian's response to Macon's depression demonstrates a healthy approach to supporting someone in crisis. She removes his gun and stays with him without trying to fix him. Her acknowledgement that no one can force him to stay, while still expressing how desperately she wants him to live, strikes the difficult balance between respecting autonomy and showing care. The contrast between Macon's private suffering and public strength highlights the particular burden men face in expressing vulnerability. As the oldest brother who stepped up after his parents' deaths, he's trapped in a role that requires constant strength. "He had no choice but to be capable of everything," Christian tells Army, defending Macon's sometimes harsh methods of survival. Mariette, who becomes a mother figure to Macon, offers crucial perspective when she points out that his sensitivity and overthinking, what he considers weaknesses, are actually strengths that saved both families. This reframing helps him begin to see value in aspects of himself he's always despised. The novel's resolution doesn't offer magical healing, but realistic hope. 4 years after marrying Christian, Macon still struggles with depression, but attends regular therapy. "Some days are still difficult," Christian acknowledges, "but the time between bad days grows longer." This realistic portrayal shows mental health as an ongoing journey rather than a problem to be permanently solved. The socioeconomic divide between St. Carmen and Sanoa Bay forms the backdrop for much of the novel's conflict. St. Carmen represents old money, privilege, and corruption hidden behind manicured lawns and country club memberships. The Bay, often derogatorily called the Swamp by Saints, represents working-class resilience, community, and authenticity. This divide is physical as well as social. When Christian drives to the Bay Area, she feels more alive among the wild landscape where Seminoles and Spaniards built a community that still fights to survive. This contrast with St. Carmen's artificial perfection highlights the novel's theme that authenticity often flourishes in unexpected places. The Jaeger brothers, particularly Dallas, harbor deep resentment toward Saints. Money always wins over heart, Dallas tells Christian, revealing his cynicism about class mobility. This perspective stems from years of experiencing how wealth protects the privileged from consequences, exemplified by Milo Price escaping punishment for abusing Christian due to his family's connections. Garrett Ames and Jerome Watson represent the predatory nature of wealth when unchecked by ethics. Their attempt to acquire the Jaegers' land for development shows how gentrification threatens not just property, but community identity. When Ames threatens to take all 2,000 acres if Macon refuses to sell 200, the power imbalance is stark. Christian's position between these worlds makes her uniquely able to navigate both. She understands the social codes of St. Carmen while appreciating the authenticity of the Bay. Her clever suggestion that the Jaegers could rent rather than sell their land shows her ability to use her privileged education against those who would exploit the brothers' lack of formal business knowledge. The novel's most powerful statement about class comes when Christian threatens to give her St. Carmen house to the Jaegers, knowing they would drive down property values in the elite neighborhood. This leveraging of class prejudice against itself becomes her most effective weapon in protecting those she loves. By the epilogue, the power dynamic has shifted somewhat. The Department of Transportation finally paves the Bay's roads after 6 years of Macon's petitioning, symbolizing how persistent advocacy can eventually overcome systemic neglect. Yet, the 5-year deal with Ames suggests that class warfare is never truly finished, just temporarily paused through strategic negotiation. At its core, Five Brothers explores what people will sacrifice to protect those they love. Each character makes difficult choices that reveal their values and priorities. Macon's sacrifices are perhaps the most extreme. To support his brothers after their parents' deaths, he resorted to selling himself sexually to wealthy women. Some clients were decent, others disturbing, he confesses to Christian. One wanted me to pretend I was her son, another liked to hit me. This devastating revelation explains his complex relationship with sexuality and his initial reluctance to become involved with Christian, whose mother was among his clients. The toll of these sacrifices manifests in Macon's self-loathing and suicidal thoughts. He contemplated ending his life multiple times, but survived by escaping into fantasies of someone sweet and innocent, ironically, a girl who turned out to be Christian herself. His sacrifice extended beyond the physical. He gave up his own dreams and potential relationships to ensure his brothers had opportunities. Iron's imprisonment represents another form of sacrifice. Though initially presented as the consequence of a drunken mistake, it becomes clear that Iron's assault charge stemmed from defending someone vulnerable. His acceptance of a 3-year sentence without implicating others demonstrates his commitment to a code of loyalty above personal freedom. Christian's sacrifices revolve around her siblings. She delays college, works multiple jobs, and even considers marrying Jerome Watson for financial security to ensure Mars and Paisley are protected. Her willingness to trade her St. Carmen house to Garrett Ames in exchange for him backing off the Jaegers' land demonstrates how her priorities have shifted from her own comfort to protecting her chosen family. The novel doesn't glorify these sacrifices, but examines their psychological cost. Macon's methods of protecting the Bay community, like forcing a drunk man into a car compactor to scare him sober or threatening another man who neglects his children, are morally ambiguous. When Christian calls him a hypocrite for his own drinking, Araceli defends him. He cares more about their lives than he ever did his own. This insight reveals how protectors often apply different standards to themselves than to those they protect. By the epilogue, the characters have found more sustainable ways to care for each other. Christian feeds neighborhood children breakfast before school, extending her nurturing beyond her immediate family. Macon continues protecting the community, but has learned to accept protection himself through therapy and Christian support. This reciprocity suggests that true strength lies not in sacrificing oneself entirely, but in creating systems of mutual care. The novel's most hopeful theme is how human connection can offer redemption even after profound trauma. Each character begins the story isolated in some way. Macon in his depression, Army in his invisibility, Dallas in his anger, Iron in his impending imprisonment, Trace in his superficial relationships, and Christian in her family responsibilities. Their gradual connections with each other create possibilities for healing. Christian's entry into the Jaegers' lives catalyzes transformation. Her ability to see beyond their defensive facades allows each brother to be vulnerable in different ways. With Trace, she validates his dreams and intelligence. With Army, she acknowledges his importance to the family and his son. With Iron, she provides comfort before his imprisonment and promises to remember him. With Dallas, she recognizes his sensitivity beneath his cruelty. And with Macon, she offers acceptance of his darkest moments while still holding him accountable. The novel suggests that redemption doesn't require perfection, but honesty. When Macon finally confesses his past as a sex worker to Christian, including the devastating revelation about her mother being a client, their relationship faces its greatest test. Though temporarily separated by this truth, their eventual reconciliation demonstrates that authentic connection requires embracing the whole person, past mistakes included. Iron's phone call from prison represents another form of redemption. His memory of an air show they attended years ago reminds Macon of a world beyond their immediate struggles. Despite his felony record destroying his dream of becoming a pilot, Iron remains determined. "I'm making a new one." This resilience inspires Macon to keep fighting his depression one day at a time. The renovation of the Jaegers' house symbolizes this theme of rebuilding after trauma. The old wing, previously abandoned, becomes a home for Christian siblings, Army's son, and eventually Iron upon his return. This physical transformation mirrors the emotional renovation happening within the family, creating space for new connections while honoring the structure's history. By the epilogue, set 4 years after Christian and Macon's marriage, we see a family transformed by connection. The house buzzes with activity, neighborhood children eating breakfast, brothers working together, and Christian and Macon discussing having a child of their own. Though challenges remain, including Iron's impending release and Callum Ames's return to town, the family now faces them together rather than in isolation. The novel's final message is that home isn't just a physical place, but a state of belonging. "We're in this for the long game," Christian tells Macon, summarizing their commitment not just to each other, but to creating a community where everyone, from Macon's brothers to neighborhood children, can find acceptance and support. Five Brothers ultimately delivers a powerful message about finding meaning in life despite trauma, depression, and loss. Throughout the novel, characters struggle with whether their lives have value and purpose, questions that reach their peak during Macon's suicidal crisis. Christian's response to Macon's despair offers the novel's most profound wisdom. Rather than offering platitudes, she acknowledges the reality of his pain while still pointing toward possible futures worth living for. "There will be days when you'll be the strongest one in the room. There will be kids and road trips and hunkering down for hurricanes with beer and movies and food fights and babies. And early mornings and warm beds when the rain and wind chimes are going and you're holding her." This vision doesn't deny suffering, but suggests that life contains enough beauty to make enduring the darkness worthwhile. The novel repeatedly contrasts moments of intense pain with unexpected joy. Iron and Christian eating ice cream the morning before his imprisonment. Trace and Christian making sundaes with her siblings. Army dancing with Christian in the rain after their arrest. And Macon experiencing excitement to come home for the first time in years because Christian will be there. The recurring motif of storms, both literal hurricanes and emotional tempests, reinforces this theme. The Jaeger family has weathered many storms, from their parents' deaths to Iron's imprisonment to Macon's depression. Yet after each storm, they rebuild and continue. This resilience isn't portrayed as heroic so much as necessary, a daily choice to keep living despite knowing more storms will come. By the epilogue, this philosophy has evolved into Christian's commitment to the long game. When she feeds neighborhood children breakfast despite Macon's teasing about them not being their responsibility, she explains, "If those kids succeed, they'll remember who helped them. They'll remember this house and who lived here." This perspective extends beyond immediate gratification to building a legacy of compassion that outlasts individual hardships. The novel's final scene, Christian asking Macon for a baby after years of waiting until he was ready, represents the ultimate act of hope. Despite knowing life's inherent pain and uncertainty, they choose to create new life together. Macon's enthusiastic yes marks how far he's come from contemplating ending his own life to embracing the creation of another. Five Brothers doesn't promise that life will be easy or that all wounds will heal completely. Instead, it suggests that connection, purpose, and moments of joy make the journey worthwhile, even through darkness. As Christian tells Macon during his darkest moment, "We're not dead yet," a simple statement that contains the novel's essential truth about finding courage to face each new day.